Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio today with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones to talk about our greatest strength. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We are, again, drilling into and drilling down into the area of focus in your book, Jesus Life Coach. Excited to talk to you today about this topic, strength. Is strength the same as skill set or skills?
Ideally, yes, but many people are trained in things that are not actually their highest gifts. And this is the mismatch that is a passion of mine, and I know of yours too. How can we get people using their highest gifts at least 85% of the time? All of us have to be doing something. You know, we all have to fill out tax returns and do things like that.
The earthwork.
But what I think what saddens the heart of God, and certainly what makes a lot of workplace misery, is when people are burdened with doing something they were not cut out to do, literally.
Yeah, I noticed in the book that you you did some research around this with Gallup. I think it was Gallup that had the statistic that 8 out of 10 people are not using their highest gifts at work.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, they surveyed 2 million people in over 101 companies around the world, and they asked them this question. How often do you get to use your highest gift or your greatest strength at work? And 8 out of 10 didn't even say sometimes. 8 out of 10 said never.
Mm.
So that means that people are basically working at 20% of their capacity. What if your lung only worked at 20% of capacity? You would go into surgery if your heart was only functioning at 20% capacity. If your brain was only functioning at 20% capacity, you would move mountains to make sure that you are functioning at your highest level.
Sure.
And, you know, it's amazing how God designed the human body to do that and to make sure that we're functioning. We have to be functioning at our highest level. Well, why in the workplace, then, do we think it's okay to have so little used for so much?
Mm.
You know, if you had a car, if you bought a car and it was only functioning on 2 out of 6
right.
cylinders, you're going to be putt-putting along. And I think a lot of people are putt-putting along in life because they haven't identified their strengths and their gifts, and then they're in jobs that don't allow them to flourish.
Right. And if we jumped over to the elements for a second, you teach in the elements that each element is motivated by something,
right?
Which allows them to live into their greatest strengths.
Right.
How does personality affect our ability to function in a job or a vocation where we're not getting to use those strengths? You know, what do you see happen to communication and team building and team development and goal setting and execution, all these things?
Well, you know, my passion around personality, I came into it really by default in that I was talking about leadership and principles with Jesus CEO.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that Jesus did to lead a team. But the more I got into it, I realized that leaders not only deal with principles, they deal with personalities.
Right.
And I spoke recently at a conference in Atlanta, and I asked the question, is a dog a dog a dog?
Mm.
And people said yes. And I said, well, try, you know, putting a chihuahua at the edge of a lake and throwing a stick and getting the chihuahua to go in. It is a dog, but that doesn't necessarily mean it likes to swim or confess sticks.
That's right.
It'll stand there and tremble. Now, you take a Labrador Retriever, and it's going to be, you know, straining at the leash to jump into the lake and want more of the same activity, even though they're both dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So leaders need to recognize the breeds, if you will, that they have on their team and realize that, you know, some of the dogs are going to be cuddlers, some of them are going to be sniffers, you know,
sure.
scout dogs, some of them are going to be guard dogs, some of them are going to be thinking, you know, shepherding dogs.
Mm.
So it's the nuances that distinguish leaders from just order givers.
Well, that's a lot to think about. And so if we compare that to a team, and we line everybody up to manufacture the same thing,
right,
time after time, day after day, you can quickly get to the place where you understand that people are not, they're just doing a job, they're not living into their strength. So how, you know, you reference Marcus Buckingham here in leading with your strengths and using your strengths. How do you get people to identify their highest strengths, and how do they begin walking into that, maybe even looking for a different job if it doesn't match this, if their strength doesn't match the skill set that they're doing?
Right. So the good news and the bad news is, the bad news is that you can't depend on your boss to figure out your strengths.
Yeah.
They will figure out your weaknesses, and spouses likewise. You know, there's plenty of people who are going to help us figure out our weaknesses. Finding your strengths is a journey that is our responsibility. And there are people who will help us, and there are tools that will help us. Strengths Finders is one.
Mm-hmm.
I passionately believe that PEP, the Path Elements Profile,
mm-hmm.
is one, and we're getting amazing feedback from people, you know, customers from everything from major oil companies to
right.
8-year-olds in special needs classes understand that they have a strength. So what I like about the elements is if you're a fire, then you automatically realize, wow, fire is powerful. It also can destroy things. If you're a water,
mm-hmm.
wow, nothing lives without water.
Sure.
And yet it can flood. If you're an earth, well, everything depends on the earth. That's the foundation for anything that grows. And at the same time, if it's not watered and moist and kept loose enough and flexible enough, it can turn into hard brick. And then certainly the wind is the pollinator, the pleasure giver, the messenger, the storyteller, the kite sailor, and the boat sailor. It can also be a hurricane or a tornado. So the visuals, the simple visuals that are cross-cultural and really transcend language translations are why I think it's such a powerful mechanism for a person to, you know, discovering their strength. So for myself, I'm a 69-69 wind fire. Ooh. Passionate messenger.
Right.
Man, I can get people excited. I can light their fires. You know, the challenge behind that is I'm low in the earths and waters. So unless I team with someone, or if I'm in a situation where I need to think like an earth, I'm going to have to get out of my comfort zone, step back a little bit, and pull that element up within me to get me through that situation.
Mm. Beautiful. And I know in the Path Elements Profile that, and in the elemental understanding that we teach, that often we don't use the word weakness, we use the word challenge, and often our challenge is our strength overdone.
Right.
And so I think, I wonder in teams and companies and organizations if, and particularly in Marcus's book, you know, don't focus on your weaknesses, focus on your strengths, where we would say, Your strength is showing up as a challenge. Talk to us about that. How does that spill over and become a challenge? If my strength is organization,
mm-hmm.
how can that strength sometime become a challenge for me?
Well, it can become, if you're not getting the results you want, it could be that it's a communication issue. Because if you're dealing with the winds who want fast results, and you're saying, not so fast, I
mm-hmm.
need to research the bylaws, and they're thinking, oh, you are so afraid, you know.
Yeah.
Who cares about the bylaws? We just need to do it. And we role play this dynamic all the time in
mm-hmm.
our workshops. We see it lived out in laughing and very telling ways. If you're not getting the results that you want, then your strength is probably has become a challenge for you, at the very least communication-wise. You
mm-hmm.
need to learn some new languages elementally.
Well, that's great. That's great. And so another area that you touched on in this chapter is the reference that maybe in education we should be teaching strength skills to elementary school children instead of, you know, are we missing something here by not teaching them to lead with their strengths?
Yes, absolutely. And we've done a lot of work with the education department in Phoenix, and certainly we've trained at least 2,000 to 3,000 students, maybe more, in understanding their elements.
Right.
Because it's a passion of mine that people get this information early. But imagine if you have a wind student who has an earth teacher. So the wind learns by talking things out and by in teamwork walking around and putting kinesthetics behind that. And the earth teacher is saying, sit down, put your head down, don't talk, memorize, and repeat back to me. Well, that style is not working for the winds, and that leads to tension and frustration. And I think a lot of our dropouts are probably winds and fires because the education system is earth personified.
Sure, sure.
Do this and this and this for 12 years, and then if you're lucky, then you get to do it for another 4 years, and then after that, maybe two more years, so that someone can then tell you what to do the rest of your life.
Right. And that has to be frustrating, I think, for parents to see their children, you know, who are trying with all their might, you know, to be in a process, to be in a system, to learn how to become an adult and have a vocation and all that, and then have their children not clear about what they want to do in their life. You know, they've followed all these patterns. They've taken all these steps, and some of them don't. Some of them refuse. Some of the winds refuse, you know, to follow that track, and they just jump into a career and become very entrepreneurial. But I can imagine, you know, some of the frustration of the parent when they see a very talented child in front of them, their child, that's not living into their highest strength.
Right. And doesn't know it.
And doesn't know it, yeah.
So that's why, you know, the Path for Teens program, the Path for Youth, it's so important, because if you can excite in a child their sense of destiny, their sense of a future self that pulls them like a magnet rather than people poking them from behind, you know, like cattle sticks, move here, move there, now go do this, now go do that, there's a lot of resistance in that energy. Whereas if a child believes that they are called, or a young person suddenly realizes that they are called into relationship service, or they are called into organizational service, or they have a gift for communication, then that gives them a direction instead of just putting them in a boat in an ocean and saying, you can do anything.
Right.
That's criminal.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Couple of questions at the end of your chapter. We've got just 2 minutes here. How could it be that skills and strengths might not be the same? You kind of talked about that one. How do you know your greatest strength, and what is it? That seems pretty simple, but how do we take a personality profile?
And also, I think the two combinations, read the book, The Path, which is a series of guided, very friendly exercises that take you into your sense of calling and destiny. And then take the Path Elements profile. Find out, are you a wind fire? Are you a fire earth? Are you an earth water? There's 13 pages of small type about how you lead, how you handle stress, what's your ideal leisure setting, how you're going to handle authority. All of those questions are laid out for you, and if you really take this document and study it, you will learn. Then it can take a lifetime for people to learn this, and they would learn it in the ping pong fashion or the pinball fashion of getting knocked from place to place until the bell rings, and that's you know, that's very painful.
Wow, that's beautifully said. Well, any last thoughts here? We're winding down our last 60 seconds on, you know, how to encourage folks here that are 80% every day is not in their highest.
Well, I believe that told in the story of Lazarus when Jesus said, unbind him and set him free. And I believe that's the work that we do in our organization, is unbinding people from false prophecies, from false notions, from a destiny that didn't excite them, or a path that seems confusing, and help them get clarity, because clarity is power. And I believe that is what the Holy Spirit came to bring us.
Wow. Wow, thank you so much. This is a great show on talking about strengths and skill sets, and we will be back with you next week again. So have a great day, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Shelley.